and this Holy Week with a black-owned business.
Well said.
That's my 62 cents.
No, hey, look, I appreciate that, brother. And I want to thank everybody. Now, we still haven't heard from, let's see, who are we missing right now? Is it Kelly?
Yes, Kelly.
Okay, Kelly. Hey.
Hey, so I'm going to reintroduce myself. I'm Kelly, and I am waiting to be admitted into the D.C. bar. I work with Ebony and Kendra at the same firm that they once worked at, and we just all remain friends. Whenever, as far as me and what I believe with DEI, like, I think it's important, yes, but at the same time, I went to ANC, and when I went to ANC, the way that I just felt at home and the way that I was loved at my school by my professors and, you know, my other colleagues at the school versus when I went to a PWI, I can really see the differences in how we do as a culture and as a people when we lift up each other and we invest in each other. And I think we really need to get back to that. And not so much focus on DEI and what we're going to lose or what it can do for us versus what it may not do for us in the future if we lose it, just because we can invest in ourselves and we can build ourselves up. I think with integration and a lot of things that have come with us trying to compete for these spaces with our white counterparts, I think that has crippled our own community. Mm. So I think we need to take a look at really investing and growing within ourselves, because we know that the government, this wasn't set up to benefit us in the first place. Right. But we try so hard to be included in it.
Right. And, you know, I agree with all of that. Now, the issue that I have is that what about now, you have a lot of excellent black workers who don't have their own business. Let's talk about when we start talking about equity and inclusion and getting the same pay for the same jobs. Okay, that's a whole different story versus me having my own business or you having your own business or whatever it is. And you're right. And I go along with everything everyone said about investing in our own business. But let's look at the discriminatory practices that goes on in the workplace, because everybody can't own their own business, okay? If everybody own their own business, I mean, okay, I don't know how that will work out, but it doesn't work that way. Some people have professions. Some people work. They went to school to be a lawyer. They went to school to be a doctor or a dentist or whatever profession it is. So what we're saying is, as far as diversity, equity, and inclusion, what we're really saying is if I have the education, I have the experience, yet you're going to hire someone over me to be my supervisor with lesser, no experience of whatever it is, that can't stand. That is not, you know, so I understand everything everyone's saying about, you know, yeah, start your own. That's not possible for some people who have, let's say they want to be in law enforcement or they want to be in something else. Okay. Or something that requires, people to be on the workforce. Some of these high paying, tech jobs or, corporate jobs or whatever it is, okay? And let's make sure that this guy sitting next to me, whether he has the same educational background or experience or whatever, if you're going to pay him, you can't pay him $10 more an hour than you're going to pay me, or $100,000 more per year than you're going to pay me. That's what this is all about. So I'm not discounting anything that anybody say, okay? And then you have to look at, does anybody on this panel remember or have, well, we don't remember because none of us were there at that time, but have you recalled, read anything about Black Wall Street? Okay. Well, you have black businesses, hundreds of black businesses that were just, look, pulling us up out of our bootstraps. You talk about you just coming out of slavery or, you know, a few years back, several years back, brother, And now you have built your own, you got your own banks, you got your own stores, you've got your own supermarkets, you've got everything there. And guess what? They say, well, you need to get a job. Oh, you need to pull yourself up by the bootstrap when they burnt my doggone boots. Come on. You burnt this thing down to the ground, and that wasn't the only one. Do you know there were over 128 Black Wall Streets at that time? Over 128. Anybody heard about Bruce's Beach out there in California? Anybody heard about that and how the governor gave the family that beach back, the Black family that beach back after over close to 100 years? Do you know how much, do you know how much money?
That was in Manhattan Beach.
I'm sorry, say that again.
That was in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
Where that happened. And, you know what? They fought like crazy not to give it back to them because now that area is worth millions of dollars.
Exactly right. So, yeah, so we do this type of thing. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the panel. He's one of our panelists also. That's Mr. Mark Daniels, a Groove brother. He's in Houston, Texas right now. Mark, tell us a little bit more about you, and then let's get back to the topic. And then we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to say whatever they want to say. So, Mark, you're next.
Okay, I'm going to be in and out for that really important meeting that I, outside of this that I got to get with, but I will be in and out. It's a little bit about me. I attended Virginia Union University, same as William. I'm in Houston, Texas right now. Was living in California. Still have a residence there. Still own my own business, and I have a regular corporate job, I guess you could say. You know, coming on to this panel, and be honest with you, last week I was just blown away. And I told William, I got to be a part of this again. It was just phenomenal. And I look forward to what you guys have been talking about ready tonight. And like I said, I'll be in and out, but I'll definitely be listening.
Okay. And because we have another guest here, is that Sadie Lavelle? Sadie?
She's got her mic muted.
Hey, Sadie, your mic is muted. Okay, let's get back to Mark. Mark, tonight, the discussion is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's what this conversation is all about. Now, you own your own business. I own my own business. Now, you take Craig. I'm not going to tell you, disclose. He can tell you whatever he wants, but he works for a living. Now, in his situation, and which is different from us, and if let's say for instance in your job, Craig, and then we'll go back to Mark, and then Sadie, when you unmute your mic, we'll love to hear you on. But say for instance, you have someone that's next to you, and he's not of the same ethnic background as you, okay? And there is a upper management position that you are definitely qualified for. And he may be qualified or maybe not qualified for, okay? Would it be right for someone to give him that position when he doesn't meet the qualifications that you have?
No, it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right at all. And a lot of times, not only that, I've been on my job for, I'm a construction manager. I work for the government. And when we're bringing in college students, just graduated, a lot of times they bring them in at the current market value. So sometimes that may be pretty close to what my salary is. And that's mm-hmm. becoming a problem within itself because now they are looking at adjusting existing employee salary to the current market rate that they're bringing in younger workforce because mm-hmm. we have to train them.
You have to train somebody, and they're going to make the same amount of money as you
That's
do.
That's correct. But okay. They're bringing them in.
You know what you're actually training them for is to take your job? Okay.
You're correct.
So, yeah, hey, let's get back. Hey, Sadie, we're waiting for Sadie to unmute your mic. Okay. But anyway, Tiffany, okay, let's get back to you, and I want you to take on this entire discussion. And then we want to go to our featured guest, Ebony, again, because Ebony, you are here for a reason, and that reason is that we wanted someone in law to be able to come on to this network and kind of tell us the nuances and the details about DEI. And like I said, when I first heard this, oh, by the way, did you guys know that the governor of Alabama has banned DEI programs in the state of Alabama?
Yes.
Okay. And then, oh boy, Tiffany, after you have your say, I want Ebony to really kind of hone in it a little bit. And how can we fight against this? Tiffany, the floor is yours.
Okay. So I do have a couple of questions for Ebony. And you probably have already went over this, but just for people that are coming in or watching the replay, why do you think that these people of power want DEI out of the policies? Mm. Do you believe that they are intimidated by something?
Oh, absolutely. They're intimidated by our greatness. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, give cliche answers, but that's what it is, right? When we talk about the structure and how things are set up, especially when it comes to our economy, again, when you see representation at the top, 9 times out of 10, they don't look like any minority.
That's right.
Right? And then, again, when it comes to our knowledge, the things that we know, the things that we've gone through that make us top tier and that make us able to strive, education and those things, it is a threat. Right? Because you see myself now as someone who can be in your position and not just be in your position, be better at it, be better suited for it, be able to connect with others on a level that you might not be able to do because you don't know where we as minorities come from, right? I can relate. Honestly, that's why Obama was such a great president.
That's right.
Everybody has their own personal opinion. But the way that man was able to talk, the way that man was able to articulate, the way that man was educated, the way that man could speak to anybody of any race and that person feel as though they were heard and relatable, that is what made him top tier. So when you take out DEI, you want to make it to where we are separated. You want to make it to where y'all might be together, but you don't have the money. Y'all might be together, but you don't have the backing. Y'all, you know, we'll put you together, but they feel without the federal backing, as far as money goes, they feel as though we will fall. And as long as, again, we're having these conversations and bringing these things up to come up with, you know, like my sister Roisha said, a permanent plan, it may delay us, but it won't deny us. We will have a seat at a table, even if it's a table that we ourselves create.
That's exactly right. And Sister Evan, I want to piggyback on what you just said here. In my opinion, President Obama was the greatest president ever. The greatest ever. And you know, see how the far right and these evil, corrupt politicians have twisted the narrative and try to make it seem like he was not as great as he was. Okay? And I'm thinking, and I remember something. And see, most people don't pay attention. They don't pay attention. Either they don't pay attention at all, they don't read the newspaper, or they listen to Fox News, which is a problem. But anyway, that's a whole nother story, all right? When President Obama was first elected, sworn in, okay, and entered the White House, you have to understand the pile of garbage that he had to even scrape off the doorsteps of the White House. The second George Bush left a mess. The economy was in shambles. The stock market was down at 8,000, he had dropped almost in half. I mean, it was just incredible. And I'm going to just talk to you black people out here right now. And some of you that are considering, I can't tell you who to vote for, but I tell you what. Do you want to vote for someone? Now, historically, when and I don't mean to get this off in a political conversation, but I guess I have. Historically, people have done better under a Democratic presidency, okay, since Bill Clinton, okay, or even before that, okay? And if you look at what's going on currently with the 118th Congress, which would allow something like eliminate DEI to happen, it is the worst performing Congress in history. Even Republicans would tell you that. Okay? And they would, and look at the Supreme Court. That's why it's so important for us to vote. And so many of us don't vote that should vote. You have people that have died so you can have the right to vote. Okay? Let's talk about these types of things. And when you start talking about diversity and equity and inclusion, I mean, to me, that should be a slam dunk. Anybody, any human being would want to be included.
Or educated on the topic.
Absolutely.
Gotta be educated on
okay?
the topic.
And you think about this also, how they don't want to talk about, and I'm gonna circle back around to our topic. I don't want to get off, Ebony, Attorney Ebony. I don't want to get too far off. But look at the things and the programs that they are attempting to eliminate. They're talking about what they, oh my God, what's that huge thing here that, boy, help me out, somebody. They don't want to talk about our real history. And you guys can relate to that. They're banning books right now. Why? Okay? So my thing is, if you go back in history, there was a point in time when we weren't allowed to read. Yet you call yourself superior. Well, if you're superior to me, why does it matter if I picked up a book? Because you know, just like Ebony, I want you to jump in right now, because if you were so superior to me, why would you deny me the right to read?
Absolutely. They're really trying to erase history.
Come on.
That's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about it. They want to act like it never happened. Again,
yes.
Because when you talk about American history, why is slavery not included in that?
Come on.
It was so bad. It was a time. It was 400 years. You want us to forget about slavery like it's not the foundation of what we are still trying to fight to this day.
Today.
To this day.
Come on,
we
sister.
We have only been integrated for what, 60 years? 60, 50 years? That's not a long time.
That's not a long time.
Not at all. So...
three generations.
Knowledge is power.
Come on now.
The more you know, the better you can fight against injustices, the more you become conscious of the world that you live in, and you're able to understand and try to, again, do what is best for you, your community, and what you have to offer.
That's right.
And that's honestly what it is. They want to erase history, but it can't be erased. It can't be erased. And whether they want to voluntarily talk about it, mm-hmm. I'm going to voluntarily talk about it.
You can't
shut me up. I'm going to talk about it.
Hey, sister, you are welcome to come on any of our platforms anytime. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you on some other platforms because I love the fire. I love the fire, folks, because I tell you, we have to stop just settling for things. Oh, it is what it, no, it is, it's not what it is. That ain't what it is. It is what, you can go and go with that, baloney if you want to, but it not, we have to stop settling and say, hey, look, It ain't right. Look, I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to just share something. If you're going, there was one time when this country pretended to have morals. Okay? And that was a time, if you ran for office, if you had one scandal, you were out. And you're looking at someone right now, and I'm not going to call any names, I'm not going to plug, but you know, if you want to, you're going to vote for somebody that is, has been, and that, it wasn't convicted in a criminal court for rape or anything like that, but liable for it. It's been 88, let me fact check myself, 88. Charges right now, four indictments already. Trial after trial after trial. And you said, I would vote for this person even if he's convicted and in prison. What does that say about you? What does that say about this country? I mean, I'm talking about a moral decay, unknown to mankind. Mark, other than those countries that have dictators. Mark, if you're still there, if not, Craig. Hey, bro.
I'm still here.
Hey, Mark. Hey, your take on anything we said, brother.
Wow. Some powerful things. You know, one of the things I look at is, which was said earlier, you know, the more knowledge we get, the more afraid they get. And it's one of those things where you can't be afraid. You got to be able to speak for yourself, speak your mind. And of course, when you speak up, that's going to get the attention, because now it's one of those things, they got to figure a way to get you out of there. They got to come up with something to move you on. But when you stand up for the right thing, when you do the right thing, at the end of the day, for African Americans anyway, you will be noticed in a positive light. Mm-hmm. And we need more of that, because right now, I feel like all of this is a mess.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it used to be, if you were going to run for some type of political office, you almost had to be a priest, because if they came up with anything,
yep.
I mean, it was going to be out there on you.
Right.
Now, I mean, it don't matter.
Right.
I mean, it basically does not matter.
Yeah, your father can be dirty.
And, you know, we got one of our own in one of the most powerful positions in the court system, and he's the one that we probably trust the least.
Isn't that something?
And I'll be serious. I ain't no way in the world. I would trust him. If I got to go in front of him, I'm done.
That's right.
I mean, and it shouldn't be like that.
That's right. And you know, Mark, it well said, brother. I'm looking at our court system. You know, and I know that there are many courts that has been ruling against this clown that was the ex-president. I understand that. But the court system, to me, it still needs to be fixed, because it is not equal under the law. Now, don't gaslight me and says everybody's accountable. Okay? It's an equal court system. Nobody's above the law. Yet you show me the exact opposite every day. Okay? It depends on who has the power. Okay?
Gotta remember one thing. I don't mean to cut you, William, but
go ahead.
It's a lot of manipulation.
Of course.
I mean, we'll have people that we work with every day, and may not be the same color as us. Some of them are our color, but want to be on the other side too. And they'll sit when the election time come and smile on your face, like what happened when the previous president won. Oh yeah, I'm going this way, whatever. You get behind them curtains. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different ball game.
Whole different
ball game.
You don't
know what you're dealing with.
Absolutely. You know, my thing is here, because we started this network. Oh, by the way, Studio W, The Buzz, we started, ladies and gentlemen, we started this network in 2014. So we're in our 10th season right now. 100% owned by yours truly. The corporation is www.studiow. Okay. That's right. StudioWBuzz.com. StudioWBuzz.com. You can check us out. and we showcase a lot of our talent. We have a show that comes on, for those of you who are just tuning in, we have a show that comes on Wednesdays called Cultural Excellence. Cultural Excellence, music, art, entertainment, comedy, and a whole lot more. It's just a lot of stuff that we do. And also education, because we are big on education. We're bigger on disseminating great news. And I advise my co-host that comes on many of my talk shows, look, I'm not going to, you can't be offensive, but I'm not going to regulate, you know, what you have to say, because we need to have conversations out here. And hopefully, if we have sensible information, okay, instead of hype, instead of gaslighting, give people proper information, people can be better informed.
Correct.
Okay, and hopefully that type of structure works, you see. So it is, please share with your friends, Studio W Buzz, Studio W Dot Buzz. The corporation is William Worldwide. We have two subsidiaries. That is WB Financial Services. That's right. I'm a financial service professional, a former stockbroker, but I still do financial advice and also life insurance. So you can contact me. And the website there is William at Studio W Buzz. Studio W dot Buzz, Studio W Buzz dot com. Hey, check me out. Hey, love to. Let's get back to the subject here. I had to drop that commercial. Somebody had to pay for this.
Go we ahead. Still need to get with Sadie. I don't think.
I've asked her several times, has not unmuted her mic. So we're going to go back to the attorney, Ebony Elm. I love your passion, my sister. Love your passion. And like I said, I'm going to call you back and invite you to some other platforms, because this is vitally important. You know, like anytime. I said, we have to protect ourselves. And now, if the law is supposed to be designed to protect us, so we're going to have to inform people, let us know, and let them know what the law is, you know, regarding these situations. Sister Ebony, please. Yes, please go on.
That also leads me to voting.
Yes.
Voting is very, very, very important. Not just for president, not just for vice president. It starts in your local community.
Amen.
And
I
cannot stress that enough. Who, from your mayor to your governor to your superintendent of your school.
That's right.
To, you know, board of directors for education, your police commissioner, right? These people are going to be the enforcers in your everyday life, mm-hmm. in your everyday life. And that is just as important as you voting for the president, vice president. And it starts by us as a community asking the questions that we need the answers to, right? How do you feel, you know, your mayor, not necessarily about, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, but again, what policies and stuff are you going to put in place for everybody to feel equal, for us to feel safe as a community? When it comes down to what officers are allowed to be on the force. Again, is it all about color? Is it all about integrity? Is it about how you carry yourself when no one is looking, right? Because it's not what people see when you are in the limelight. It is the person and the character of who you are when no one else is looking, when you don't need to be congratulated or recognized for doing a good deed, right? When you're able to, you know, I give this example, when you're able to feed the homeless or do a kind deed without having to post it on social media and get credit for it to show the world that you're a good person, right? So it's important to start there and be the change that you want to see, right? Is the person who you elect for your mayor, your governor, a person who is going to treat everyone fairly, who's going to make sure that there are equal opportunities. And again, equal opportunity does not always mean DEI, but it needs to be a consideration, mm-hmm. right? Because you literally learn from different people. I don't have all the answers, and I will never act like I have all the answers. So if I can learn from someone else, even if it's a fact, you know, something that I can utilize in my everyday life, that person has now given me, you know, a seed to be able to help me grow. So again, that is the good thing about diversity, equity, and inclusion, is that you can always learn from the next person, even if that person doesn't share the same views as you do, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay for us to disagree. It's okay for us to not always see eye to eye, as long as we respect each other, as long as we treat each other like human beings, as mm-hmm. long as we treat each other as we are all people of substance and have something to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though that needs to be the picture, right? I have a young son. He's 15 months, about to be 16 months. And when I think about the legacy that I want to leave for him, right. when I think about the things that I'm going to have to teach him to make sure that he is conscious of what is happening in the world, just like you said, brother, you know, they're trying to eliminate books. They're trying to eliminate that history. That's going to have to come from
that's
me.
Right.
I can't just rely on, you know, the educational system and things like that to teach him what he needs to know,
that's
what
right.
he has a right to know, to make sure that he is abreast of what is happening to put him ahead. And my mother has just always said that from when we were young kids, me and my sister, you know, y'all are going to be the minority, not just because you're black, not just because you're a woman, not just because of your education. It's going to be how you were raised and your principles,
man,
and
oh
how
man.
You carry yourself in your character. And the older I got, the more true the statement became to this day in my everyday life, you know? So please make sure that you are involved in your community. That's what I love about my organization. That's what I love about my brothers, is that we are involved in our community. We put our foot down to the pedal, and we make sure that we are active when it comes to voting time, when it comes to, you know, toys for tots, things like that. We make sure that we are present in any opportunity that we have to partner with a local organization, any opportunity that we have to partner with a black owned business. We make sure that we do that. We promote in our community. We promote higher intelligence. We work on not just ourselves and what can make us better, but we listen to the voice of the people. We listen to the voice in our communities. And anywhere we see a gap or anywhere where we feel like we can contribute, we take the lead on those things. And that's what I really, really love about us. Again, that's what I love about my sisters. That's what I love about my brothers. And there's no other place that I would rather be. So when I'm asked to do these things, you know, again, nobody gets paid for this. So please know that when I'm coming on here and I'm talking passionately, it's because it's something that I truly believe in. And if I could just touch one person, give knowledge to just one person, it brings me that type of joy to just know that I feel like I'm out here doing what God has set out for me to do and fulfill my purpose. So that is just really what it's all about. Each one teach one, and just using a platform and my position to be able to help those around me.
Thank you, Sister Ebony. I tell you what, and you are welcome here anytime on this platform, and I'm going to call you. And you're exactly right, because we're all volunteering our time. As a matter of fact, this particular program isn't sponsored, you know. I have to take care of the expenses of this program, and I want to, you know, my dream, Craig, is that we get to the point that I can, pay our guests to come on, you know, and I want to do that. I really want to do that, because
I'm not getting a check tonight.
You're not getting a check tonight. No, no, Craig. No, I just said, are you listening closely? No,
I just love the sister's passion.
No, the CEO has to pick up the expense for this check, because there's so many. But you know what? I do this because, and Sister Ebony, you are so right. My I do this because I have a passion for everything that we're talking about.
Yes.
And like Brother Robert said before, somebody said before, no, I heard something else. It was another, it was a podcast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do not confuse this with a podcast. This is a broadcast, okay? Because it's included in a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio extravaganza. Let me put it that way. But anyway, I couldn't come up with anything else. But let's get back to it. But Sister Ebony, I can't tell you how grateful I am that you are here with us tonight. I love your passion. And we're going to go back to Sister Tiffany and then Craig a little bit and then back to Mark. But I, what you're saying is, it's kind of reflective of my thinking. Okay. And we have never spoken before today. And I'm saying, and I'm listening to you. I said, this is a woman that gets it. This is a person, a human being that gets it. And, you know, because these other things that's going on right now, Tiffany, they are so contrived. They are so phony. And you have people that are speaking on things that they know that are wrong, but because of whatever reason they're doing these things, it could be a pay. There's some money involved. I'm talking about the people that are in power. But something else I want to, Tiffany, talk to you about. When it comes to diversity, equity and inclusion, what have you witnessed it in? And can you talk about anything that's disparaging, in your profession rather?
Yes.
Ooh.
I do have quite a bit to unpack here. And I still have a couple of questions for Ebony as well, but,
please continue.
In my profession, as I stated earlier, I am a writer or screenwriter. And, as we know, as you guys have recently seen, especially when they was talking about the movie, The Color of Purple, Taraji, she really stood up for the black women not getting paid, as the other counterparts, not getting paid as equally as the other counterparts. And, you know, they have done, she's been in the game just as long, if not longer. She knows her craft very well. She does her craft very well. And that's the part of, we were talking about equity there, you know, which is unfortunate, you know, but it's part of the fight. So I have seen that, in that regards. What I want to say is, I don't, you know, you can call it a little rant or whatnot, but my thing is this, and I'm pretty sure you guys can relate to it, is that what bothers me is the fact that they want to get rid of black history so bad, but they don't want to get rid of Jewish history. They don't want to get rid of, anything dealing with the Roman Empire, stuff that happened back then in those days. They don't talk about, let's get rid of this. All we hear is, let's get rid of black history. My thing is this. If you're going to get rid of one, you should get rid of all of it. If you're not going to get rid of all of it, then don't just, you know, separate the one. Because now what you're saying is not reflecting of your actions. You're saying, you know, we should all be together, you know, everyone should be on equal terms, but you're separating, or you're trying to get rid of one particular group of history. Why? That's what I have an issue with. If you're going to get rid of one, if you don't want one particular group of history in the books, get rid of all of it. Don't talk about the Holocaust anymore. Don't talk about what happened back when the Roman Emperor came. Don't talk about Christopher Columbus anymore. But they're not going to do that, though. That's what I have a problem with. So, again, in this broadcast is being heard across the globe. If you're going to get rid of one, get rid of all of them. If you're not, then keep all of them. Period. You don't have to sign up for these jobs, for these teaching professions. If you don't want to talk about Black history or teach Black history, don't sign up for the job. That includes Black history. That's my little rant. I do have a couple of questions for Ebony. Ebony, let's point, she wanted to ask, how can we use DEI to our advantage, or can we use DEI to our advantage at all?
Oh, there's always an advantage to, you know, DEI, because again, you know, you learn from different cultures, you learn from different people. So the more that these people are included in the professions, in the policy making, in the procedures, you're better able to help the world as a whole. Again, I'm not sure if you were there for my earlier statement. It's just, again, as a doctor, right, or as a patient, as an African-American female, I might want an African-American woman to treat me, not because I just feel as though she's better, you know, equipped mentally and, you know, educationally, but because she can relate to me as an African-American woman. She knows what I can be experiencing, what, you know, typically what runs, you know, with an African-American woman, high blood pressure, diabetes. Being inclusive, you give others the opportunity to feel like they are represented and that they are heard. Again, I don't feel like there really is a negative to DEI. I just believe that we shouldn't solely rely on DEI to feel like that's going to get us somewhere as a people, right? Because then you rely on others to be able to build the foundation for you. And then once they take that foundation away, it's kind of like you're left in limbo and you really don't know what to do. So DEI is a great tool. It brings all cultures, people from different backgrounds together. And if it's going to be implemented, it should be implemented in its highest form, just making sure, again, all different cultures, all different backgrounds, women, men, you know, elderly, young, are seen and represented and not left out.
Awesome. One more question for you. And I'm not sure. I wasn't present at the very beginning. I was in and out. But what made you choose law as a career compared to any other profession that you could have gone into?
So the childhood answer was, my mother said either a lawyer or a doctor, and I don't do blood that well. So lawyer it is. And honestly, I had no backup plan. So if I did not become a lawyer, I really don't know what I would have done with my life. So I'm very grateful to God that I actually enjoy it, but it's really the representation. You just see things, you know, and you just always feel like you want to help. And again, just being an African-American woman, or just being an African-American lawyer, period, we only make up 9% in America.
Wow. Wow.
I love what I do because I get to help. I love what I do because I'm not just a lawyer, I'm a mentor. When I represent people, and I've represented juvenile, I've represented grown men, women, it's not just my job to make sure that your rights are being protected. It's also my duty and my purpose to make sure that I'm talking to you, speaking life into you, and helping you also with the resources that you need to make sure that we're not in this situation ever again.
Stop that.
So whether it's your, you know, family background, your dad's not very present, or, you know, that might be distorted. You know, do you play a sport? Do you have any Black male coaches that can give you some guidance? You know, young females, right? Again, 9 times out of 10, it's because either their home life isn't great, or, you know, they don't have the structure at home. Sometimes they might be a little insecure. Again, speaking life, always letting women know, you know, you are beautiful. You are gorgeous. Like, you are unique. Mm-hmm. So just all encompassing of just being able to help those around me. And honestly, I can't picture myself doing anything else. Like, this is definitely what I was meant to do. I'm very blessed that I'm great at it, that I'm good at it. I have a way with words. And I'm blessed, to say the least. And I wish I could say more, but blessed is the most I can say.
Great, great. All right, Mark, are you still there? I see you have your mic muted. You want to chime in? I know you said you would be in and out, I think.
Yeah, he might be out right now. But I'm telling you what, I agree with my sister there. I feel blessed to have. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I got a second. I can chime in. I didn't get to hear everything.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark, because I know you're in and out, but we do like to have your participation. So go ahead.
Okay, so what did I actually miss? This a little bit of what I had missed.
Well, you missed a couple of questions. The last question was Tiffany asked Ebony, why did she choose law as a profession related to any other career path she could have taken? And Tiffany, Ebony, in her eloquent words, said about her passion for law, and her mother gave her a choice between a doctor and a lawyer, and she didn't do well with blood, so a lawyer it was. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ebony. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, no, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. All right.
You know, hey, guess what? Hey, Mark, before you chime in, I was listening. I did a sound check away from the studio, right outside, and I heard that part, and I had to chuckle. She said, I don't do blood. Okay. I love it, and I love your passion behind what you do. Hey, Mark, it's just been a delightful, in some respects, and I'll tell you why I say it's delightful, because we have our panelists coming in and giving their opinions about this important topic here. And I want to reiterate something. Yes, we don't want to depend on DEI for our survival. But the point that I'm making is you have people like in Tiffany's industry. You have people that are like doctors or lawyers or whoever it is that are being discriminated with, high-level positions, corporate. And not only that, let's not only focus on the high-level positions. What about people who have jobs for a living? Okay? They don't have a desire to go out and start their own business. All they're asking for is equal pay. Okay? Inclusion. You know, there was a story, here recently. I saw it today. And Mark, you may have known something about this. That was, you know, that we have March Madness, the men and the women. And I am so glad right now that the women in sports right now are being recognized. Now, when it comes to professional sports, still, it's not an equal pay situation there, because the men in the NBA are making, what, 100 times more than the women are? Okay? But now, the women are gaining traction as far as attracting people to the arenas. People are buying tickets now. And I'm telling you what, and they have some exciting, and I'm talking about specifically about basketball right now, women's basketball. It's exciting right now because I'm watching them and I give them equal time when I'm watching. I don't get a lot of time to watch, but equal time there. And I'm so glad now that people are really coming now and supporting women. You know, I'm just so proud of that. Hello. So, Mark, jump in and say whatever you want to say. Take whatever you want to take out of that.
Well, first of all, the law field was something I had a passion for. And, you know, in the military, I actually was a legal officer in the military. So I've always had a passion for that. When I got out of the military, though, I had a young daughter, so I had to get a job, like, now. So it took me I had to go in a different direction. But to this day, I follow law, and I do it because when it comes to being treated fairly, when it comes to even with my job place, they know that you ain't getting nothing past me. And if you think you are, you're going to have to explain it. And it better be right. Because I refuse. If nothing else my parents taught me was I was going to stand up for myself, and I'm not afraid to do it. When it comes to the women's sports, you know, I'll be honest with you. Women's tennis has taken over years ago.
Yes, sir.
Where it got to the point where nobody interested in what the men's tennis was doing, it was the women's. Because the only thing I would want to see what's going on with Serena and Venus. I didn't care about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to love tennis. But, you know, as this women's college basketball has came about, if we break it down and be realistic, it's a great thing and it's a sad thing, and I'll tell you why. Because last year, I always paid attention to women's basketball. Last year was the first time where I was like, I got to see this. Because it came down to a thing where you had South Carolina, which everybody was going for, playing Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They got, and I'll be honest, they got this phenomenal young girl, Caitlin Clark. Probably, I'll be honest with you, she's the baddest thing in basketball.
That's right. She's a white girl.
But, you know, it became a thing where if you watch that game, all the fans that was going for Iowa was white. All the fans that was going for South Carolina was mixed. You get to the finals, they play LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you had a divided arena. And, you know, the young girl, Angel Reese, at the end of it, towards the end of that game, as much mess as Caitlin Clark was talking earlier, she pointed at that finger saying, I got the ring, so what's up?
There you go.
That's it.
It propelled her to a whole new level also. Here's the thing. Caitlin Clark said she's coming out to go to the WNBA, and maybe her parents got money, because I don't know, I'd ask her, why are you doing that? You make more money, and it's NIL than that $100,000 that they're giving you in the WNBA. So in my opinion, that league is probably somehow under the table, whatever. They taking care of this girl when she comes. Mm-hmm. You don't leave that kind of money. Whereas your Angel Reese, hey, when she leaves, she going to be on that regular contract. Mm-hmm. They got the girl at USC, Juju. I watched her last night. She's going to be under that contract. What people, I think, tend to miss sometimes on the spectrum is that, you know, they'll say the diversity mm-hmm. thing is there. And I ain't saying it's none. But the bottom line is, if you watch it, we have dominated things for so long when it comes to the sports spectrum that it's like we got to gain control back. Because you look at the money these men athletes are making, and most of them are us. And they got to find a medium somewhere. And this girl has brung it. I ain't taking nothing away from her, because I ain't going to lie. I'll watch her in a heartbeat.
That's
I watched
right.
it last night. She played West Virginia and put them away in that last 2-3 minutes, whatever it was. But, you know, when it comes to the diversity of all that, I guess I'll close out by saying I still think it's a bunch of BS, because a lot of things that they say have changed only happened because of what happened in 2019, 2020 with the George Floyd thing. They had to clean up a little bit. All they did was clean it up. They ain't nothing changed. They polished it up, made us think things was going to be different as it ain't. And that's what we got to quit falling for.
That's right. Hey, Mark.
Because we fall for it every time.
Hey, Mark. And ladies and gentlemen, Mark Daniels also, he is part of the panel on the Studio W Sports page, which comes on Saturday mornings. And it comes on a little early on the West Coast, 6 a.m., okay, 8 a.m. on Central Standard Time, 9 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, and these guys break it down. Some of the baddest cats, I'll put them up against ESPN, NBC, ABC, Fox, or any of these sports networks, because these cats bring it each and every Saturday. So check them out. And he also happens to be one of my groove brothers. Love this brother. And Mark, something you said, and we're going to go back to Ebony, because when we start talking about, yes, we need to have our own businesses, but let's talk about when it comes to sports. Well, we know who owns that business. It's the owners of those leagues that own that. And women have been underpaid for years. And for some reason, and so think about this for a second. Why has it been? Because you mentioned great athletes. Venus and Serena Williams, Come on. Well, I would rather watch.
I can tell you, Rob, real quick. I can tell you exactly why. I don't want this to be offensive. I'm just saying the way I look at this.
So they
basically been pimping these girls when it comes to this, because if you go to these WNBA arenas, they sold out every night. There's no reason why these girls can't be getting a better salary. From what I understand, if one has to take off because they're going to be having a child, Skylar Diggins, for example, they said, hey, the Phoenix Mercury basically locked her out of the facilities when she came back to train to get in shape. The reason why Brittany Griner got in the situation she was in is because she had to go overseas to realistically make her money. And for the money that they're making off of these young women, and now that this Caitlin Clark is coming, I put it to you like this. It's a shame. I don't know what kind of union they got, but in my opinion, it sucks, because
it does.
There's no way these girls only can make, what is it, $80,000 to $100,000, something like that, a year?
That's right.
Yeah, it's 120
Is it 120?
I just went to a Houston Rockets game a week ago, and my niece, thank you, got me some fantastic seats. She worked for the wood, had me down on the floor. I got to go to the Ultra Lounge, and first the guy was going to charge me until he saw the band on my wrist. He was going to charge me for the cup they put the beer in. He goes, oh, they normally put two in this cup. I said, well, okay. I said, how much is those two? How much is that? And he said, oh, for you, okay, you ain't got to pay. Hey, man, that was going to be $30. So you can't tell me you cannot afford to pay these women. I don't know if they could get the kind of money that the men are getting on that level. But, I mean, God, they should at least be able to top at least $5 million a year.
You know, and you're exactly right. But Mark, you know what's going on? It's the sponsorships also, because.
Well, they're not sponsors. It ain't even that. It's, they come up with the excuse that, oh, well, see, we're friendly with the, they come up with any BS they can because they try to make these women feel like, hey, just be thankful we're allowing you in here.
Isn't that something?
That's a BS.
Yes, exactly right. We got a few minutes. Let's go back to our featured guest here, Ebony. Take anything. Ebony, you there, darling?
Mm-hmm.
Anything out of this conversation you want? Because we got 5 minutes, and these last 5 minutes are yours.
No, I just appreciate everybody being a part of the conversation and just being open to open dialogue. Again, when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion, again, everybody wants to feel like they are a part. Everybody wants to feel like they are included in the conversation. And I do feel like it is a benefit. I am also a military child. So I lived in Japan for 8 years. A lot of my childhood came back to the United States when I was 8. And when I went to college, I specifically said I wanted to go to an HBCU because I wanted to experience what it was like to be educated by my peers, to be educated by people who look like me, to learn with people who look like me, and to be in that environment because I felt like I had been around so much diversity all my life, which is kind of like the opposite in a sense, but I wanted that experience. That's why I went to an HBCU for undergrad. I went to an HBCU for law school, because I wanted to be around like-minded individuals like myself. And I do feel like that has put me ahead to be able to interact with people from different ethnicities, to be able to interact with different people from other nationalities, because it's important. It's a people skill to have, and it's a level of understanding that you then obtain to be able to interact and be in these rooms with other people. In saying that, right, you should always want to give back and put yourself in a situation to be able to grow with, you know, your community. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying, I want to buy black. I want to promote black. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I want to promote my Hispanics. I want to be with my community again because you want to be able to lift them up. I think where the issue comes from in that, in the same token, is when you just want to automatically exclude others, right? At the hands of lifting yourself up, you want to put other people down. And that's not how we're going to move forward just as a nation, as a whole, right? I can support my brother and sister and still look at, you know, other races across the way and say, you know what, they're doing their thing.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they got this, you know, they got this business on lock. I'm sorry,
y'all. This is so good.
But come here.
Is that Elijah?
Come on.
That's her baby. That's her baby, 16 months old.
And I just, that's the goal. You can lift yourself up while not putting others down.
Great.
Again, collaboration, learning from the next, like that's what it's about. And I feel like with DEI, that's what, you know, people in power are trying to do. But again, that's just one resource. One resource that, you know, if taken away, is not going to make or break us.
That's right.
If anything is going to put us in a position, like my sister said, to come up with permanent solutions that are in place for me, my children, my children's children, and let us be the pioneers for it. Let us start, you know, putting our beautiful, intelligent minds together and coming up with ways that we can start giving back and making things happen.
Amen.
And I appreciate you, brother, my brothers, you know, peace of the groove, for putting this together, for giving people a voice, for giving people a platform to be able to have these open discussions to get the minds and the wheels turning and, you know, for us again to come together and to make that happen. So y'all are a blessing, you know, whether y'all know it or not. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep doing it. Y'all are going to be here for a long time. And like I said, anytime that I can come back and, you know, give my expertise, give my opinion, I would love to do so. So thank y'all again, truly.
Thank you, my sister. You know, I told you, I keep a word here. Oh, no, you coming back. We holding you hostage. No, I would love for you to come back anytime, you know, anytime. And my dear sister, Tiffany, any final thoughts or anything you want to say, my dear?
No, I said my piece. I appreciate the conversation that was had on tonight. And thank you. To my sister Ebony Ola, shout out to you.
Ola, girl, honestly, I'm sorry. I was about to say the same thing to you. I was about to say thank you. I think this is our first time meeting, but a pleasure, and it won't be the last.
Not be the last because we're going to connect the dots around the globe. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, anybody that's listening to me right now, any groove swings, okay, let's connect this dot right here. We want grooves and swings from around the globe to come in because we all have a seat at the table, Craig. We all have something to say, something to share, some knowledge we can drop because we can't leave it up to the educational system to educate us, okay? We've done it before. We're going to do it again, okay? And Tiffany, love you. We've got more to talk about. Sister Ebony, I'm going to have you back. Love to have you back. Anytime you want to come on this panel, let me know and I'll send you a link, okay?
Absolutely.
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 And then I want to have you on some other platforms. Craig, any final thoughts?
Well, I just had one thing I wanted to, I did not have enough time to just bring this up. Boy, I did a little history on DEI, and the policy emerged from the Civil Rights Act in the United States. And the first affirmative action executive order, number 10925, was signed by President John F. Kennedy. Can you believe that?
Wow. And they want to erase all of that.
Wow.
Craig, Tiffany, my dear sister Ebony, you guys have been fabulous, and also to Brother Robert Hicks, Brother Mark Daniels, and we had also let's see, who else did I miss that came on? Help me out, Ebony.
I had my sister Royce Elm. She says she's my sister times three because we're biological sisters, sisters in swing, and we're sister lawyers. My dear colleague Kendra Morgan, who practices family law. My dear friend Kelly, like I said, who was my colleague, who's waiting to be admitted into the bar. Another sister, she is shy, so forgive her. Sade Lavelle.
I thought so. because I kept calling her and she never responded. Hey, tell her, it's okay, we're harmless here.
Yeah, she's not very vocal, so I was like, I didn't want to put her on the spot, but she'll listen, and she's not a good, you know, public speaker in a sense. So.
But that's okay.
So I'm glad she was here to support. Okay.
I am glad also. I'm just blown away to me. It's been an outstanding, outstanding broadcast. My sister Tiffany, love you, girl. Thank you so much. My sister Ebony, I love you too. Craig,
stay strong, sister.
I appreciate it.
Stay strong, sisters.
I love my brother Craig also. Robert Hicks, all of you guys, thank you so much for doing this. Hey, we're out.
Peace.
StudioWBuzz.com. Come on now. Hold on 1 second.
I can't ignore what I feel. I try to tell myself that what I feel ain't real. I cry.